Luke chapter 8, if you would. Book of Luke chapter 8. Thank you for being here this morning. And again, we thank God for his presence. And it's always a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We're going to trust God just to meet with us here for the next little bit. Teach us. We're going to do some teaching in his word. And I know God is able to meet with us and help us. Amen. Luke chapter 8. We're just going to read a few verses of scripture. And if things go as I planned, I'll probably revisit this subject here again tonight. I'm going to talk to you about be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. This is something I was kind of studying some this week and was reading about it a little bit. And the Bible puts a great emphasis on hearing, on hearing. What does that mean? And I guess I've never taken the time to see how much this is mentioned in the ministry of Christ, as well as the other epistles and in the Old Testament, that it matters how you listen. It matters how you listen. And so if you would, listen this morning, if you would. Look there, if you would. Luke chapter 8, verse 16 says this, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret, and shall be made manifest, neither anything hid, that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came he to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press or the crowd. Verse 20, and it was told him by a certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." If you'll notice there, I didn't take time. I will reference back earlier into the chapter. In this chapter, as well as the other Gospels, it's mentioned several times, but the parable of the sower and the seed. And you find a phrase mentioned several times in that parable, basically saying that the seed is the Word of God, and the soils represent different ones that hear, different ones that are hearing the Word of the Lord. And so again, this morning, the title of this is going to be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. If you would pray with me that God would meet with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We ask you to meet with us, God, for the next few moments. God, help us, God, this morning to hear the word of the Lord here in this church. God, we need your spirit. We need your help, Holy Ghost. God, we ask you to meet with us, to help us, God, this morning. God, give us the strength. Give us the energy. God, I would that everyone here would, God, would gird up their attention to hear the word of the Lord. God, to press past any tiredness of body, weariness of mind, and to receive what thus saith the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, if I was to point at a thesis statement for the verses that I read to you, it would be found there in verse 18 that says, therefore, take heed or take care how you listen. Take care of how you listen. Now, when I was younger, my parents would often say this to me. They would say, Derek, you're hard of hearing. And even though I don't think I physically had anything wrong with me, not that I know of, and my wife still thinks I'm hard of hearing sometimes, amen. She'll say something, I'll be honest with you, I said, you didn't say that, and then she'll talk about it, and then I'll go back in my mind and say, I actually remember you saying that. Now, what it was, I heard her, but I didn't listen to what she was saying. I didn't take that into mind. I didn't take that into thought. Now, to be a good listener is actually something that is a great compliment that you can give somebody. A matter of fact, we often say, or it's been said, if you study and read different books, but you'll find that good listeners make good company. Sometimes we just want somebody to listen to us and to understand what we are going through. Good listeners make good friends. They make good learners. They make good teachers, and they make good counselors. But on the other hand, poor listeners are those people kind of who are, they find themselves maybe forced to listen. listen or they act like they hear you, but the whole time you're talking, and this happens sometimes in church, and if this kind of steps on your toes, I'm not doing it intentionally, but you know, it's when the preacher's preaching, but you're not even thinking about the service, you're thinking about something else. You ever done that? I have, and I'm a preacher. Amen. Your mind can wonder what it is, even though you're there, you're not really listening. You can hear the noise or maybe even the voice, but we have a tendency to daydream at times, to let our mind go other places. And sadly, nowadays, the attention span has been so depleted that you have to be honest here, that we're so used to clickbait and so used to sound bites and internet and scrolling and cell phones and technology and channel surfing and the internet, that our attention spans have been depleted to the place that we do not retain or listen as we should. I believe it's attack of the enemy to get you so distracted, to get you so consumed that you cannot hear what the word of the Lord is being said, or what the word of the Lord is saying, or what is being preached. But the Bible tells us, and this is more important, more than what studies have proven, but the Bible tells us that humanity has a tendency to not listen or not to hear. It is far more important to listen what God says and what the Word says about this. And we've got to ask the question this morning, how good are we listening to God? What kind of listeners are we? And if we're to be aware and to listen of what's going on in this world, we not only got to read the Word, not only go to church, not only participate in Sunday school, but you got to get your mind on what's being said in the Word of God. Amen. Get your mind on what's being preached. Not thinking about lunch and not thinking about what's going on at home. Amen. I know this seems a little challenging at sometimes, but sometimes we can put too much pressure on the preacher to perform or preach a sermon that we like, that we end up saying, look, well, he preached this morning, don't know much what he said. You've got to prepare yourself to come to church. Come on now. I've seen people do all sorts of things in church, and I see it all from up here. I don't often say anything. Hear me. I've been in churches, and I've seen people bite their nails, and look, I know it can be a bad habit, but you can eat lunch later. I've seen people balance checkbooks. I see them get on the cell phones. And you know they're not reading the Bible because they're scrolling so fast, you can't read that quick. Especially during football season, come on now, and sports season, people are consumed. And look, I'm not against using your iPad for a Bible, but make sure you're using it as a Bible during church. You need to hear what God's Word says. Amen. I'm not against if you get an emergency text or something and you got to handle some things. But if you're that important that you can't pay attention for 45 minutes, you need to reset your priorities. This was a problem in Jesus' day when there was no technology, when there was no internet. As a matter of fact, you read all through the Bible and God commands us to hear. You go to the Old Testament, the words, hear the word of the Lord. Is found 35 times. You find around a dozen or half a dozen of times the words, hear, O Israel. You'll find numerous times in a kind of updated language, God says, listen to me, as he's commanding them to listen, to pay attention, to gird up the loins of their mind. He would say things like this, today, hear my voice. He wants you to hear what he is saying. Now, once again, don't put the pressure on the preacher to package it just like you want it. Listen to what God says. This isn't about Derek Jones. Get past the messed up accent, amen, and the stuttering over the words, and hear what God's Word says. We look through the Bible, Jesus would make the statement, he who has ears, let him hear. He wants them to hear. And he points us all the way back to the parable of the sower found there in this chapter. And notice there, when you look there at the parable of the sower, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but you know the story. There's the seed that fell on the side of the road. And these are those who have heard. And then there are those where the seed falls on the rocky soil. And it talks about people that hear. And it talks about things that take that away or why the seed does not survive. Verse 14 talks about the seed which fell among thorns, and then the thorns came up. These are those that hear, but then the thorns of the cares of life come up and choke out the seed. But it says in verse 15, the seed that falls on the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word of God. They are listening, they give an honest and a good heart, and they receive it. Brothers and sisters, what kind of soil are you here this morning? Do you come to church and the word of God is preached and you say, ah, there's the seed. And then the devil comes by and steals the word. Are you the one that falls on that kind of soil and the sun comes up, the circumstances of life, and burn up the soil? Are you the one that you hear the seed, you hear the word, and the seed of God comes into your life, but the thorns and the thistles, the cares of life, the anxieties of life come up and choke out what you hear? Or are you good soil that the word of God comes in, you hear it, you apply it, and you do it? What kind of soil are you here this morning? I would dare say it's time for us to assess the soil in our life. What kind of listener are you here this morning? Have you heard what God has said? There's a lot of preaching that goes on here at this church. Amen. We teach on Wednesdays and we have Sunday school. And we preach and teach on Sunday mornings and on Sunday evenings. The word of God goes forward. You also are to read and to listen. Whatever you do during the week for your devotional time. And then you are to pray and listen to God. But what kind of soil are you this morning? Are you good soil? And if you are good soil, I'm going to show you this morning that there are some marks of true hearers, or there's some aspects of true soil to prove if you are a good listener or not. All right. Number one this morning, the first mark of a true hearer is that a true hearer listens and hears the word of God evangelistically. Listen, I will explain this to you. Look at verse 16 if you would. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. This is kind of a rhetorical statement. It's kind of common sense. It says, basically, put your mind in that day. It says, no man or woman's going to light a candle, and when they light the candle, just instantly put something over top of it so that they cannot see the light that is coming from that candle. You light the candle for a reason, and it would be foolish to light the candle and for the intention of it to give out light and for you to put it under a bed. Number one, it'll burn your house down. And number two, you don't want to put a vessel over top of it to snuff out the light. No, there's a reason that the candle is lit. As a matter of fact, this common sense statement was something Jesus would say on several occasions. You would find there even on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and 15. He would use it later in Luke chapter 11 verse 33. It says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it away in a cellar nor under a peck measure or a basket. It basically saying is you light a candle, you light a lamp, and you do it for a reason. So what's the application of that, Brother Derek? What is Jesus talking about? What does hiding the light or of the lamp illustrate? So what this means is, and the application is this, hiding the light of God and the gospel from those who are around us. When the light is put into your life and the gospel comes into your life and you see that marvelous light, how foolish would it be to go around and to say pretty much, or to allow it to be extinguished? Basically, you have the light of the gospel for a reason. You have knowledge for a reason. You hear the word of God for a reason. It's not just to make you feel better, no matter what Joel Osteen says. There's a reason. What is the reason? So that you can be a light to somebody else in this world. Amen. I'm going to stop right there because we live in a selfish world. And the spirit of individualism has consumed the church. It's not all about you, and it's not all about me. Somebody say amen. It's not all about what makes Derek Jones feel good. And no doubt, I do care for myself, and we should care about ourselves. And you should care for yourself, and God cares for you. But you didn't get saved just to go to heaven. But you've gotten born again so that you can be a light in this world, in this dark world. That's why true Christians, when they hear the Word of God and they become illuminated by God's Word, it should be your desire to shed that light elsewhere in this world. It wasn't lit to be extinguished, and it wasn't lit to be hidden. It was lit that you could be a light in a dark and a dying world. Now, this is mentioned so many times in the Bible. I could have actually taken this first point this morning and preached for an hour. Let me just give you a few references. Luke 10 and 27. Here he's talking to his disciples. He says, "What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops." Now, you got to understand the setting of this, and I know you're familiar with it. But Jesus would often tell these parables, right? And then you would find, you know, we're so blessed, you know, the New Testament church, we got this Bible, because we would find many times Jesus then would call his disciples aside and he would tell them in private the interpretation of the parable. And what it was, the way the parables were set up was this: if there was somebody out there that hears the parable and they really want to know truth, guess what they're going to do? They're going to ask the disciples of Jesus. This was Jesus's design for the parables. He said, "Look, I'll tell a parable. Those who want to hear the truth are going to come find my disciples, and they're going to tell the truth. They're going to illuminate the truth to them." So many times Jesus would pull his disciples aside and he would explain the parables to them. So what Jesus is telling them is this: what I'm telling you in the darkness, I want you to go out into the light and I want you to share it with everybody else. What I'm whispering in your ear, I want you to go out there and I want you to tell them what I've told you. Proclaim it from the rooftops. Abundant Life, hear me this morning. I believe, and I'm not just biased, but I believe this at this church. You hear some good Bible preaching, and not because I'm doing the preaching. You got Brother Glenn, you got Brother Shane, Brother Tom Neff works hard on them Sunday school lessons, and others to teach the children. I don't want to leave anybody else out. And Brother Matthew does a wonderful job bringing forth the Word. You hear the Word of God preach, not just from an emotional standpoint, but from what thus saith the Word of God. We labor in the Scriptures, but what's being proclaimed in this church, what comes to light in your life, is not to stay there. Go out there and tell somebody about what you've learned. That's what we're doing here as a church. Apart from the popular understanding in this world that the church is just to be a place of social gatherings and encouragement, it's part of it. But it's to be a place that you hear the Word of God and you go out and do it. Amen. I could share other verses with you. 1 Peter 2 and 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Nobody likes being peculiar. "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So, Brother Derek, why am I a priest? And why are we a part of a holy nation? Why are we a peculiar people that you can show forth the praises of God, that those that are in darkness can see the marvelous light? How bright are you shining this morning? How are you listening to the Word of God? This is an aspect to prove if you're good soil or not. Can people look to you and say, "There is something about that brother or that sister"? I could spend all morning here. Philippians 2 and 15 says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." Hear that. I want you to, does holiness matter or not? Practical holiness. Being saved and looking and acting like you're saved. Listen to what it says. I'm going to read it again. "That ye may be a blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke." Why? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Do you stand out from among the crowd as somebody that looks and lives a holiness life? Why are we to stand out among whom you shine as lights in the world? How bright are you shining? How bright are you shining? Internally and externally. Look, I realize there's some that can get the external right, but their internal part ain't shining very bright. And there's others, look, I look at time, I've met people before, I didn't always agree externally, but I'll tell you, they had something burning on the inside. There's got to be a harmony from the external and the internal, that it doesn't compromise the witness. We need to be as bright as we can in a dark and a dying world. Acts chapter 26, again, I could share a lot with you this morning. But I like Paul and his testimonies. I may enjoy his testimonies. The Apostle Paul, just in case somebody said, well, I don't get the whole testimony thing. The Apostle Paul testified all the time. You know, people say, you know, if I had the biggest platform in the world, what would I do? I'll tell you what Paul did. He testified. He didn't sing. He didn't try to promote his ministry. And some say, he said, look, I know you can. He would look at King Agrippa and different ones. And the very place he would start and says, let me start right here. I was riding down the road to Damascus. A light shone from heaven. This is Acts 26. It was at midday as the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journey with me. And when we all were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But notice what happens here. Jesus would say, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in thee which I will appear, that will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Notice this, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. We are to be a witness that turn people from darkness to light. You ever witnessed the power of the light before? Years ago, me and my wife, and we recently went to Luray Caverns up there in the mountains of Virginia. But years ago, we went to a place, I forget what it's called, the Great Caverns or something like that. And I admire those men who are explorers that got, I thought to myself, why would you come in here, number one? And I couldn't imagine what they, you know, they've done a lot of work in them things. We went in a certain part of that cavern. And they said, just to give you the experience of the early explorers, they turned the lights off. Now I'm telling you right now, in the Old Testament in Egypt, when they said there was a darkness you could feel, I felt like I was in Egypt right in the middle of the plagues. I thought to myself, man, but all of a sudden they would turn a flashlight on. And all of a sudden, it's amazing, the illumination from that one light. Amen. It could dispel the darkness for a small region. But then they would turn the rest of the lights on. And I thought to myself at that time, and have referenced it many times preaching, oh, the power of the light and the darkness. Imagine it being dark. But imagine the day that Jesus came into this world. And as Zechariah would say in his prophecy at the birth of John the Baptist, says the Son of Righteousness is going to arise, and it's going to shine on those that sit in darkness. Brothers and sisters, that light has come. That light is in this world, and that light is illuminated through you and I. In a dark world, you are to be the light among the nations. Let them see a difference in you. How can I tell that I'm a good listener or a good hearer, Brother Derek? I'll tell you how. Are you a good evangelist? I mean this to be convicting and challenging. Why? Because I believe there's more we ought to do in these last days. Come on. Abundant Life Tabernacle isn't to be a church just about itself and what makes us comfortable. We are to be a light. We are to be a light. You are to be a light. Brothers and sisters, that's the first sign. If you're a good soil, analyze your life here today. If you're a good listener, you are going to hear, you're going to obey, and you're going to be evangelistic. Let me get to the second point. Give me some more time here. We're going to come back and visit tonight. I said a little while ago, I won't sure we are. Point number two, second mark of a good listener or a good hearer are those who hear authentically. Now, you really got to pay attention here to verse 17. It seems a little different. Luke 8 and 17 says, "For nothing is secret." You hear that? You ain't got no secrets. God knows about them. "That shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." Here the Lord is referring to authenticity over hypocrisy. This verse seems different at first, maybe out of place, but this verse comes right after he tells his disciples not to hide the light, but now he's telling them that true intentions of the heart are going to be made manifest. Basically here what Jesus is saying is this: if you are good soil, if you are a good listener, the intentions of your heart are going to be made manifest, and the intentions of your heart are going to be pure if you are a good listener. I'm going to give you some verses to back this up. Basically what they're saying is that true hearers keep this in mind. I've got to maintain my heart, right? Brothers and sisters, it matters what gets in that heart of yours. There's certain sins we've learned to sanitize and get over them, and I want you to listen right here. I believe this will be helpful to you. I know it's been helpful to me. We often reference sin as something external all the time. I don't do this, right? And then often somebody says, but I'll tell you what I do. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. I go to church, I pay my tithes. I love God, I love Jesus, I love the Holy Ghost, I love the Trinity, I love doctrine, I love Bible study. Okay, good. I don't do this. But hear me. There's sometimes sins of the mind and sins of the thought, something nobody but you and God see, and something that may even end up in your heart. You may overlook it and justify it all the time. Why? Because nobody sees it. Right? There's a lot of time. Let me just put it plainly, all right? There's some things you would never do in front of another person, right? But you'll do it in private. Something evil. I'm not talking about things that are not sinful. Let me put it this way. You would never, you'd be ashamed to commit adultery or something like that, or to do drugs or something like that. But when you're in the privacy of your own time, do you keep your thoughts and your heart and your mind holy? If there's something bad that comes into your mind, are you the gatekeeper of your mind? Do you turn it away, or do you entertain those things in your privacy of your life, on your cell phone, on your computer, in your mind, in your thoughts? You look at those things, or you contemplate things, and you never deal with them before the throne of God. God knows your thoughts. And I would even go as far to say this: in my years of ministry, before the adulterous acts had ever committed in public or being exposed in public, there was something in your mind you didn't get right. Hear me. For some, before the bitterness ever came to fruition where it showed up in your actions, you never dealt with it in your heart. You've got to learn to police your mind and your heart and your soul so that it doesn't get to a place that it festers, because whatever's done in secret is going to come out eventually. Be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. So men, let me tell you how you defeat lust. Defeat it in your mind and heart. Don't let it start there. It'll never go further. Sisters, let me tell you how you defeat all those things. Don't let it get a footing in your mind. Spiritual warfare. We've complicated spiritual warfare. We act like it's ripping down invisible force fields. No, it's the strongholds of your mind. And what happens when the devil gets in that mind? He sets up a beachhead. He gets a hold. He gets a place. And he's going to build there. And it's going to show up in your actions. Here he's saying, for nothing is done in secret. It shall be made manifest. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. I dealt with it here recently, and I'm not going to give you all the details to the situation. I dealt with somebody in ministry, and they began telling lies, and I knew they were telling lies. I didn't let them know I knew it. They think they can keep it hidden. It comes out. It comes out. There's many verses in the Bible that talk about this, and I'm going to We'll cover the second two here tonight. Let me conclude this one. Give me a few minutes. Matthew 10 and 26. We read this a moment ago, but it says, a part of it a minute ago, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be made known. What I tell you in darkness," then that's when he says, "speak in the light, what you hear in your ear, preach upon the housetops." Ecclesiastes 12, the last verses in Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What are those two conclusions? Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Luke 12 and 1, first three verses. Says, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together, there was a giant multitude, inasmuch as that they trod one upon another. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." I'm going to draw two contrasts right here. We can model ourselves after the Pharisees who thought that they could do things in secret and it never be brought to the light. Or we can model the ministry of Jesus that realized even the good deeds in this life that go unnoticed, there'll come a point in time that God's going to testify and show the world all about it. Am I good soil this morning would be the question. And let me answer that for you. How can you know? Number one, do you listen with a true heart? Are you evangelistic? Number two, are you authentic? As we come to a conclusion this morning, give me about 5 minutes. What he's saying is this, what Jesus is saying is this, is as you look at yourself as a disciple, as one who professes Christ, and the one who says he is a follower, she is a follower. One who says, look, I serve God, I'm going to follow Him. How authentic are you here this morning? As you look at your heart, are you the real thing? I want you to ask yourself that question. Now I go around this room this morning. I honestly couldn't sit here and try to point out, I know your heart. I believe everybody, I trust this morning your heart is pure and true. But there's truth, there's things that can be in your heart nobody knows about. And you've got to be a good listener and you've got to be a good hearer. How many wants to be a good hearer in these last days? When you go to the book of Revelation and you look at the message to the churches, let me tell you what Jesus is summing up in my own words. Perk up your ears, Laodicea, Thyatira, and the other churches. He that hears. Can you hear this morning? Can God speak to you through His Word? Can it ignite your spirit? Can God speak to you in your prayer closet? Can God do a work in your life? Can God minister and move and do things through your life? Are you authentic? Are you a good hearer? Stand to your feet if you would. I want my wife to go to the piano if she would. You know, I'll be honest with you. All of us. We're very limited in this life to be able to discern the hearts of others. You ever thought somebody got in church and they come out, they didn't get in church? You ever thought somebody heard you, but they didn't hear you? They didn't listen? They didn't take it in? Let me tell you what the challenge is for us to do. In these last days, I believe, as we're proclaiming the light and we're teaching and we're preaching and we're witnessing and testifying on the job, we're going to bump into more and more people, as they would tell me when I'm younger, they're just hard of hearing. Not because they cannot understand. Not because there's no way intellectually that they can grasp the truths of Scripture. But they do not want to understand. You know, my high school career, a little longer than some, I always would say to myself, I can't learn this junk. I don't want to learn this junk. When I got born again and got truly saved, God, that's one of the first things God dealt with me about. Derek, you stubborn, rebellious soul, you can learn. You can read. You can comprehend. You were just so lost and blinded in your sins that you didn't have any desire to learn anything in life. And they were secular things. But I find myself now, I'm going to try to learn something. I'm one of those people, when I come to a question in the Bible, I can't just, some people can read a hard question and just go away from it. I'm like, what is he saying there? I want to learn. You have a desire to learn too. Why? You're here this morning. I trust you're here with a pure heart. Why? Because we want to know more about the Lord that we serve. See, look, I know we have services, revival services, where we shout and rejoice and God moves. And I'm a firm believer in revivalism. I believe in camp meetings. I believe in all those things. But I've also studied history enough to know that's not all there is to it. As a matter of fact, that happens occasionally, but it happens where there's been men and women that hear the Word of God and do it. And do it. I want to be a better hearer in these last days. I want others to hear as well. Again, depleted attention spans, consumed by the cares of this life. I encourage you in your own time to go read the parable of the sower and the seed once again. And I was just amazed reading again this week. I said, man, in ministry, I see that soil. Some let the devil come and snatch it right away. Some let the enemy come and steal it. But I'll tell you what I've seen in these last days more than anything among believers. It's people that allow the cares of life to choke out the good seed. Are you a good listener? If you need help in that area, guess what you got to do? All you got to do is apply yourself and ask God for help in these last days. Amen. Who wants to be a good hearer? I want us to pray a prayer of consecration. I want you to ask God, Lord, in these last days, in a world full of deception, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to understand your word. His word is forever settled in heaven. Look, brothers and sisters, I know we look crazy to this world as we cling to our Bibles and we cling to our God. But can I remind you once again, this word is inerrant, it's infallible, and it's true. And one day when you're standing before the throne of Christ, I trust as a believer you'll stand there. But those who are unbelievers, the books are going to be opened. And I believe right here, this Bible, this book right here will be displayed and people will be held accountable by the way they treated the Word. God's not afraid of you having a question, right? God's not afraid of you being seeking for answers. There's answers. But you got to be willing to listen.
Even when you don't like it.
You ever asked a question, read the Bible, and it kind of knocked you sideways in the road because you had a lot invested in the thought that you had and a lot invested in your actions, and you knew you're going to have to go back and make some apologies? Why? Because God's word is always right. What kind of soil are you? Are you authentic here this morning? Let's consecrate ourselves right now to God's word. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father of heaven, you've given us a book. You've given us your word in the Old Testament. You spoke through Moses and the prophets. Oh, yes, but God, in the New Testament, you've spoken through your Son and the apostles. And God, I believe you're still speaking today through your Spirit. Oh, God, don't let us become consumed in the cares of this life. What kind of hearer are we this morning? What kind of listeners are we this morning? What kind of soil are we this morning? God, I want to be good soil. God, I want to hear. I want to receive the word. And I want it to bring forth fruit in my life. Oh, God, there's times we've got to turn off the phones and the TV and get in the word of God and hear your voice. God, there's times we've got to shut down the opinions of politics. Oh, God, and the opinions of the news. and get in the Word of the Lord. God, I believe this is what's going to set us apart in these last days. There's going to be those that hear and do, and there's going to be those who hear and reject the written Word of God and the teaching and the preaching. God, I consecrate myself, God, to Your Word, to Your revelation, to Your Son. I surrender my life to it, God, even when it messes up my plans and challenges my motives and my thoughts. God, I lay myself before You. God, speak. God, speak. God, speak to us. I feel this in my heart. When Samuel, as a young boy, is laying on that bed, Samuel, remember the story? Goes to Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you. Happens again. He goes to Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you. Finally, Eli says, boy, go lay down. And when the Lord speaks, say, here I am. Speak to me. Talk to me. Can we invite the Lord to talk to us this morning? Do you invite God to analyze and examine your life and convict you in the areas that you need conviction? Do you hear His voice? Do you hear His Word? That's what's going to set you apart in these last days. Not how much money you make, not how well you dress, not in your talents and your abilities, not in your popularity, but were you able to be man or woman enough to hear and listen and do the Word of God? Did you put forth the effort? Did you put forth the effort? That's the challenge I'm going to leave you with here this morning. One more time, just consecrate yourself to God. Accept that challenge. Take it home to your prayer closet. God, I want to hear Your voice. Go ahead, church. Invite Him to analyze your life. Invite Him to ask you some tough questions. God, I want to be evangelistic and I want to be authentic, God. I don't want to be deceived. I want to hear Your voice. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank God for His Spirit this morning. I want you to take the challenge of this message. Keep your mind sober. Take it home with you. And be a hearer. We'll be back tonight. We're going to finish this message. Thank God for His presence. God bless you. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Have a blessed afternoon.